Trading at Schwab is now powered by Ameritrade, giving you even more specialized support than ever before. Like access to the trade desk, our team of passionate traders ready to tackle anything from the most complex trading questions to a simple strategy gut check. Need assistance? No problem. Get 24/7 professional answers and live help and access support by phone, email, and in-platform chat. That's how Schwab is here for you to help you trade brilliantly. Learn more at schwab.com/trading.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Scams are on the rise across Ireland, with many people being targeted on what feels like an almost daily basis. And so there is a push, I suppose, to make people aware of how they can protect themselves as the scams become more intelligent and even harder to detect. To chat to me about this, I'm now joined by former Irish international and Fraud Smart advocate, Niall Quinn. You're very welcome to the show. Niall, look, these scams, they are becoming more and more sophisticated, especially with AI and the like. Is it actually possible to beat the fraudsters?
Well, you got to try. And I think I'm here today to get people out there to understand it's happening. It's happening at a colossal rate. You know, the online and digital fake investment schemes are just, you know, it's unbelievable the ground they make and how clever they are, how they've stolen identities, how they've been able to bring a little bit of belief into the air that what you're doing is okay. And then suddenly the whole thing falls apart. So today is about getting people to be ready for it, as opposed to, oh my God, something bad has happened to me. And the way we want to do that is to get everybody just to take a couple of minutes. You mightn't even have invested in anything, but just have a look at fraudsmart.ie. Sign into it. There's a thing called alerts, and the latest scam comes in day after day. I mean, it's amazing. I looked in at it when I was first asked to do this, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. But you come out of it much more aware. And you'll question and you'll be able to make a better decision based on what you see, because there's been so many terrible cases of people losing life savings and, you know, amounts of money that really hurt. And then there's the being duped and, you know, feeling so low and flat about that. And they get you when you're vulnerable. You know, and it's about understanding that before it comes and hits you.
Has your own image ever been used as part of a scam?
It was some while ago. It didn't last. It didn't stay up too long, and I didn't really have much time to do anything about it. It was just, oh my God, I can't believe they've done that. And then it fizzled out. It disappeared. But I know some people who have, and I don't know. Maybe you have. You know,
yeah, I was once actually, but it was really obvious to me that it was a scam because of the way they were manipulating my mouth, and I had a very different voice. It was very much like this. Yeah. And yet it surprised me, the number of people who knew me who got in contact and said, I kind of feel this is funny, but do you know this is out there?
Yeah. Well, it's good. You have good awareness then. And, you know, they've got more sophisticated, you know, as time goes on. And I think there's a way of beating this, and that's to be ready. You know, not just where do I go or what happens afterwards. I think that's what today is about. And Central Bank have also announced something very similar today. So they're seeing it as much as we are in our world.
Have you ever been a victim yourself?
My wife was. My gosh, it was more a digital scam whereby they assumed my daughter's identity and sent a lovely text in the language that my daughter would use to my wife, to say I'm on Jamie's work phone, who they knew who Jamie was.
And that was her husband.
That was her husband. I'm on Jamie's work phone. I left mine at home, left my wallet at home. I need some money into the account. I've got da-da. And of course, Gillian's mum had only passed away a couple of days earlier. She was vulnerable. It was about 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. And of course, she did it. Then Aisling called around at 9 o'clock. You know, Gillian was saying, are you okay? And she said, what are you on about? And that was when we knew we'd been scammed. And it really hurt. It was at a bad time as well, of course, because Gillian's mum had passed away. And the feeling of, you're just so deflated, you know. And it wasn't life-changing for us, but it is for a lot of
people. In terms of the sum of money.
But you weren't
able to get it back.
You weren't able to get it back. They are so sophisticated, so clever. So rather than react, you've got to be ready to see what's coming. And my job today is to make sure that everybody has at least one look at fraudsmart.ie and work it out from there for yourselves how much you should learn.
What are the red flags?
Well, you know, I mean, it's too good to be true for first instance. You know, can't miss out on guaranteed, you know, profits, all that kind of thing. You know, the investments are actually, you know, in some cases, they're probably measured enough just to make you think that it could be okay. You know, they don't promise, overpromise in terms of returns. And I've heard of some where they've actually hung in for a few months and stayed in touch with you, let you know how it's doing, and then boom, gone, pull the rug. So, so they're far more sophisticated than they've ever been. And anybody who feels that there's something there, just be prepared for it. You know, I think one of the great things about the website is you can put the entity in, type it in FraudSmart's website at fraudsmart.ie, and that'll tell you whether this is genuine or not. So it's a real preventative message today. It's kind of sickening what's happening, you know, and vulnerable people are getting caught. And I think, you know, if I have to do one thing today, I have to make people to have a look at that website and get it in, because they'll see it. As soon as they see it, like I did, they go, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened.
I know, you end up thinking, I actually received that text. I remember seeing that email.
Yes.
You see, they're out there to get you all the time. Can I just ask you about some of the other things we've been talking about on the programme today? We spoke with Daniel Lamberts, who I'm sure you're familiar with a little bit earlier. Yeah. And he was talking about the FAI passing this resolution at the weekend to submit this formal motion out to UEFA, urging it to ban Israel from European club and international competitions. What's your take on that?
Well, always in my time, you're always the answer from FIFA or UEFA on anything like this was there's no room for politics and we're a sport. But of course, that changes, and it kind of changes and suits them whenever it does. Look, I wouldn't like to offend anybody, but I mean that whole situation has to come to a stop, you know, and I think the world has to do something about it. I'm no expert on the whole conflict, but I'm not going to stand and say nothing either. You know, it's dreadful what's happening. This is as bad as we've ever seen in our lifetime. You know, those of us who weren't around when World War II was on. I want to be a little bit careful too, Kira, because I understand that there are tensions about this politically elsewhere outside of the FAI. But I do think through the power of sport, we can actually talk and have a loud voice. And whether UEFA or FIFA accept the responsibility or not, I'm kind of proud of Dan and the FAI for voting this in and giving us a chance to let a country know, an oppressor know, that enough's enough.
So you would support the Irish players then if they refused to play Israel?
I can't see that actually happening. I can't see the association bowing to that level of demand. But I would absolutely back the players if it's an effort, a controlled effort to make sure that, you know, that Israel finds out that we've all had enough of what they've done.
Can I look ahead to the fixtures that Ireland are facing this week?
Yes.
We have a match on Thursday evening. First of all, what are our chances of getting out of this group?
Very slim. We've made it really hard for ourselves. And
impossible?
Kind of, but you know, the odds are that we'll fail. But what I'd love to see, Kira, is that we fail heroically. You know, that we go out with a bang if that's what happens. And we show that under this manager, in the short space of time that he's been around, that while we haven't qualified, we've shown that we're developing some form of identity that will mean the next qualification process could be easier. And by that, Kira, in my world, I mean it's finding a way to play in two games that they haven't been really so good at it up to now. Although there were times like Hungary at home in the second half, they did the most powerful performance in that second half. And I thought, that's it, we're here. And then suddenly they go to Armenia a couple of days later and they couldn't pass the ball to each other. It was incredible how poorly they played.
The worst thing you can have as an Irish football fan is hope.
It's hope, exactly. It's the hope.
We all had it after that match.
Yeah, and so, you know, they stepped backwards a bit. But then the last home game was good, that when they played Armenia and got the result. Poor again for a while. First hour wasn't great, but you know there is something there, and I'd love to just see, you know, that they kind of take the shackles off a little bit and say, okay, let's do all these things that hurt teams. Let's do long throws. Let's you know, look at our set pieces. The Premier League is changing. Everybody is changing their game now to try and counteract how the Pep Guardiola coaches of the world decide the game be played. And we can't match them. We've proved, if anything, in the last 5 years, we've proved we can't match those countries in trying to play their type of football. How about creating an identity, showing that that's in a process now over these next two games, and let both teams that they play come away saying, wow, I don't like playing against Ireland. Because that's not the case. Teams used to really dislike playing us. Now it's we're an also-ran. So that's the bit I'd love to see in these next two games. And if we go out fighting and we show that spirit and we have an identity at the end of it that says, right, that's how we're going to play from now on, then I'd love to see the manager stay in his job and build. But I'd like to see evidence of that in the two games.
Are we having a crisis of confidence? Are we still at a rebuilding phase? Are there more structural problems there, Niall? As you say, there was a day when we just got so much joy from watching Ireland play soccer.
We did, yeah. And we had confidence. You know, you must remember, like, a lot of these players, you know, came in. Stephen Kenny capped a load of young players. And, you know, you're blooding all these guys, but they're not being blooded into a winning formula. You know, they're not coming in and getting the benefit of confidence because the senior players there have won plenty of games. Everybody's in the same boat. It's been really, really difficult. Confidence must be low. Like, I can remember counting the days down when you're in England for the next Irish games. You couldn't wait to get back because you were treated like heroes. We were playing well. We were winning a lot. And I often think to myself, well, what's it like today to go back and the negativity that's in the air and they haven't won matches and the press guys are tough and, you know, all the different things that footballers don't like. And so, you know, to snap out of that, I think we have to show a different identity. People are always a dinosaur. He wants us to play the old way. But, you know, I want us to make teams uncomfortable because they're too comfortable when they come and play us now. And I have a feeling they can do this under the current manager. They showed at times, particularly in that Hungary home second half, that they have what it takes to really upset a team and get in behind them and push up and do all the things that would have done in the past that are creeping back into the Premier League now. But I fear, you know, the modern coach will probably laugh at what I'm saying now and say that we just have to get better at passing the ball. I think it's more, there's a display of heart needed. And I think if that comes about and it doesn't work out and we don't make it, I think it will augur really well for the manager in terms of the next qualification process. But if we limp tamely out, then it could be the end of the road for him.
How much time should he be given?
I'd like to see him get an extension if they prove over these next two games that it took a while to get going, but there is something there to work on and that our players aren't afraid to play what you'd call a tougher kind of game. You know, turning people, getting them out of position. Like, I played a striker. All I know is, if I stayed in the middle all day long and the centre half was behind me, he was so happy. But if I pulled out to the side, if I make him move out of his comfort, if I get the type of service, diagonal balls in, that I'm challenging one-on-one with them, I've players around me like Robbie Keane used to do, Damien Duff, people like that. Now I know they've got a problem. Yeah, but what really gets me is when we knock the ball around from the goalkeeper to the centre back to the goalkeeper to the left back to the right back, our centre forward is standing there in the middle with his hands on his hips. They're just so comfortable. They're going, this is lovely. What's this thing about playing against Ireland? They're easy. But I'd love to see them twisted, turned ragged. It's an application, really, that I think if they show that in the next two games and they still fail, I'd be all for keeping them on.
Have you been to the cinema recently? Have you any plans to go?
I will go, actually. You know, I'm. It's funny. The only thing I can tell you about, I don't know what the film is going to be like, but I got a bit of a boost. My daughter said to me, the guy, Jack Hickey, who's playing you, is really handsome dude. So that's a start. Whatever.
It's
after
a
that,
great movie then. Yeah, whatever, really well cast.
Yeah, whatever after that, I don't know. But listen, it was an awful rough time. Maybe this will put a happier ending on it all, or a sadder. I don't really know. It'll be.
Do you have a different perspective on it now, you know, given the intervening years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was very steadfast at the time that the jersey always came first and it didn't matter how bad the pitches were or how bad anything was, I'd always play. But I suppose I softened that stance years later when I got to know Roy a little bit more when he came up and managed Sunderland, and just saw the drive in the persona of the man, you know, that it was probably impossible for him, looking back, to accept what we would all have just said, yeah, no problem, sure. What does it matter? So standards did raise as a result, but performances haven't. So I don't know. It's look, I kind of dislike looking back. And I was asked there on the 20th anniversary to review some articles that were written on it for a online group. And
I should point out, in case anybody's wondering what we're talking about, it's clearly Saipan.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course. Yeah, we didn't even tell you. Yeah. And, you know, I got them and I said, okay, I'll look at them, I'll come back to you on it. And there were six of them and they were all written by people who hadn't been there. And I just thought, wow. And I was reading things and they were hearing stuff that was obviously added on, multiplied by two. And I was going, I can't do this. It's not right. If you ever get me something from somebody who was there, then I'll review it. So that's the last interaction I've had with it. That was a couple of years ago. But people still say it all the time. You know, it it's relevant all the time. It was such a big story. And Roy is such a big character, you know.
You weren't asked to consult on it, were you?
Definitely not, no. you can't expect anything good, I suppose. That's the best way of doing it. And if it's funny at best, that'll be great. And sure, the fella's a real good-looking fella, the fella doing me. So.
Niall Quinn, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us today. And the website, as you say, is fraudsmart.ie if anybody wants to go and check it out.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.